Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you, Lord God, for another day that you have made. Another day, Lord God, that we can lift up our voice and be thankful, oh Lord God, to the one who made it possible for us to be saved on today. Lord God, we give your name the glory and the honor and the praise, Lord God, on today. And just thank you, Lord God, for every blessing. Thank you, Lord God, for every way made. Thank you, Lord God, for every door that you're open. Thank you, dear Lord God, for all of your provisions. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for every miracle and every healing that you performed. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us joy, unspeakable joy. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us a peace that passes all understanding. We just thank you, Lord God, on today because we acknowledge you, oh Lord God, for who you are. You are the creator and the blesser. And Lord God, we just give honor to whom honor is due. And Lord God, as we come before you on today, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, that you look upon us. Lord God, strengthen us, Lord God, once again. And help us, dear Lord God, to continue on this blessed journey. Asking you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would meet the needs of your people. Lord God, I pray that you strengthen those who are weak. I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you lift up those who are downtrodden. I pray that you remember the backslider, Lord Jesus, and those who may have lost their way. Lord God, help them to find their way back. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that the lost sheep out there, Lord God, will know, Lord God, that you are their shepherd, and Heavenly Father, that you do care about them, and Lord God, that you do love them, Heavenly Father. And I pray, dear Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that they would take heed to the call, and Lord God, that they would hear your voice, Lord God, that they may be restored, that they might be healed, that they might be delivered, that they may be set free in the mighty, powerful and match this name of Jesus. Lord God, we give your name the praise on today. And Lord God, as the word go forth, I pray, Lord God, that you would bless your people. Lord God, drop a seed down in our spirit. I pray, dear Lord God, that you would stir us again. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would give us the encouragement, Lord God, that we need. And Lord God, I pray that all things, Lord God, be done decently in order. And Lord God, that your name would be magnified, that your name would be praised, that your name would be lifted up, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, in Jesus' mighty and precious name, I pray. Hallelujah. And I say amen, amen, and amen, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. It's just so good. Amen. Once again, amen, to be in the number. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I greet you in love and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen, who is most precious. Amen. I pray that everyone is well. Amen. I pray that it is well in your soul. And I pray that you have a determination. Amen. Praise God, to make it. Glory to God, because Jesus, amen, is soon to come. Glory to God. Amen. Just glad, amen, once again, to come before you. Amen. And today, amen, we will be found in the book of Genesis, amen, chapter 6. And I will begin to read verses 5 through 14 in your hearing. Again, that's the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. And the word of the Lord reads, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." And I'll also read Genesis chapter 7, verses 5 and 23. And it reads, "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowls of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." May God bless us through this, the reading of his holy word. And today's subject is nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. Amen. Genesis chapter 6 and 7 is the most remarkable event that we have on record concerning the old world and its destruction. The story of Noah's Ark has been echoed down through the years and even illustrated through children's books, songs, and other publications. But it is not to be looked upon as a fairy tale, but a message to all generations concerning God's resentment for sin and the punishment that follows. It also serves as a warning for what is to come, and to express the importance of being ready when Jesus returns to the earth at his second coming. A brief overview of chapter 6 and 7 is the wickedness of the world which provoked God to anger, the grace that God extended to righteous man Noah, the warning that came before destruction, the fate of the disobedient that did not take heed to the warning, and the preservation of all who were obedient. The word of God gives us to know that there came a time that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, to the extent that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every generation after the fall of man progressively worsened. As the increase of mankind began to multiply upon the face of the earth, sin also multiplied and spread as the disease of leprosy, in a manner of speaking. And to use a modern day example, we saw in 2020 how infectious disease proved to be most destructive and deadly in densely populated cities. So in the same sense, it does not take long for the disease of sin to take over and corrupt multitudes, especially when people begin to build up a tolerance for it. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." In other words, association brings about assimilation. So the more people feed into sin or accept immorality, the more it will fester and grow. The scripture says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." This scripture alone should dispel any notion that God is pleased when he looks upon rebellion and the wicked works of men. In fact, his resentment of man's wickedness is what caused him to repent that he ever made man. And his resolution was to destroy his entire creation. It grieved God to be rejected by his creation, the man that he created, and even that his angels had wronged him by choosing to defile themselves, and going after that which satisfied the flesh. Likewise, it grieves God when people fail to see the extent that he went through to save all of humanity. God gave his only begotten Son as a sacrificial offering for our sins. Romans 5 and 8 declares, "But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We were undeserving and unworthy, but it was by his grace and unmerited favor that the way of salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord has been granted. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, yet he is still the rejected Christ." People are still rejecting him all over the world because they love darkness more than light. They are choosing death rather than life. They would rather reject God and serve sin, amen, than to just go ahead and give their lives over to him, not realizing that they are only enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, and not realizing that in the end it's going to be to their own hurt. Because if you do not accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as he said, you will die in your sins. The Lord grieves because he does not want to see the people that he created to be destroyed. He would rather that they choose life, but the reality is not all will accept God's plan for salvation. Many are choosing the way of the world and will lose out in the end. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under the heaven that has been given among men whereby we must be saved. Whoremongering will not save you. Getting drunk or high will not save you. Striving to make a name for yourself will not save you. There is only one name that God recognizes, and his name is Jesus." Glory to God. If any man wants to be saved, he must be willing to take the way that leads to eternal life. In other words, you have got to get on the highway called holiness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Getting back to our lesson, the people in Noah's day chose the broad way, and they embraced sexual immorality and every sin that defiles the soul. We hear the Lord say that my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. The part of us that is of the flesh is the incurable, corrupt, carnal, and sensual nature that wars against the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit that strives with the sinners by conviction and will admonish the conscience to turn away from sin. But as Matthew Henry wrote in his commentary, if the Spirit be resisted, quenched, and striven against, though he strive long, he will not strive always. The people in Noah's day sided with the flesh against the Spirit. So the Spirit justly withdrew his agency, and every man began to walk according to his own way. The Bible says the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. The Lord purposed to wipe off man from the earth. But Noah, praise God, was a just man and perfect in his generation. And in him, God found, that he was just someone who was striving to do what was right in his sight. And so therefore, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah walked with God. And though God was displeased with the rest of the world, he favored Noah. He was an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We recall in Genesis chapter 3:15 is the first reference of a promised redeemer. And it was through Noah that the promise was kept alive. He was justified before God by faith in the promise. Saints of God, it's important to point out that the life that we are to live should please God. And Noah, the word of God says, did just that. He was separated from the rest of the world and not trying to be like the status quo. Nowadays, people want to be a part of what's trending. Whatever crazy fad that society promotes, there are some people that just want to be a part of it. But the greatest example that we should strive to be in the face of society are people of good character and people who are standalones. In other words, you can stand even if you have to stand all by yourself. In this generation, it is the standalone characters that God recognizes because their aim is to please God and not man. Noah was probably hated and persecuted because of the life that he lived and because he condemned the world through his preaching. But he found grace and favor with God. And it is better to be esteemed by God than to be esteemed by man. When you have God's favor, it is what matters the most. Never mind with trying to fit in. Never mind trying to be like somebody else. What matters the most is that you have God on your side and that you have his favor. The Lord instructed him to build an ark. He was given all the details and dimensions in order to build it. The Lord instructed him to take two of every living thing that he created, one male and female of its kind, into the ark. And according to God's grace, he not only saved Noah, but also his family. The Lord used Noah to give warning of the approaching judgment. For 120 years, he called the people to repentance and warned them of the flood, but it was to no avail. Nobody wanted to listen, but Noah kept on preaching. Warning comes before destruction, and the Lord gave all the inhabitants an opportunity to repent and turn from their wicked ways, but they would not. It is no different than today. Some people just will not listen. And we are nearing the end, and there are signs which support this fact. But people see what they want to see. They have heard the preaching of the gospel, but choose to reject it and hear what they want to hear. There are people who choose to be willfully ignorant and do whatever they want to do. But Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 36 through 39, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It will be sudden and without warning. If you hear, your soul will live." The world has grown tired of the message of the gospel. People don't want to hear that the end of all things is at hand. So they find ways to silence the word of God or to shut it out. But it does not matter what they try to do. The Lord shall work, and who shall hinder it? Jesus is soon to come. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. He will break all nations with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like the potter's vessel. So where are you going to run on judgment day? There will be nowhere to run, and there will be nowhere to hide. The importance of the account concerning Noah is that it shows that there are two possible endings to the chapter of every person's life. It shows that every person has been afforded the opportunity to receive salvation, and there is no respect of persons. The final lesson is that a person's fate is determined by their response to the invitation to repent and be saved. The scripture says that Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. In Genesis chapter 7 and 23, it reads, "And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both men and cattle and the creeping things and the fowls of the heavens, and they which were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." So in review of our lesson, there were only 8 souls that remained alive after the flood because the Lord gave them safety in the ark. And the Lord himself shut the door before the rain began to fall. But the fate of the disobedient that heard the warning but did not take heed, that case was not so. As Jesus said, the flood came and took them all away. It was too late, y'all. And that's something to think about. It happened so quick and so suddenly that it was too late for them to change their mind. It was too late for them to repent. It was too late for them to secure a place in the ark because God shut the door. The record shows that they were given a chance, but they were more concerned with keeping themselves entertained than working out their soul salvation with fear and with trembling. Noah and his family were preserved while multitudes were wiped out. And this should give us pause for consideration that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, who can stand before him when he is angry. People of God, there seems to be a lot of unusual events that are taking place at this time. And it is important to pay attention. Those who understand Bible prophecy knows that the center of all prophecy is Israel and the Middle East. When you see such things as war, shifting in political powers, or a shift in the alignment of powers, there is a significance for why it's happening. So let us also continue to pray for Ukraine, because they're fighting not just one enemy, but three. You have Russia, Iran, and China, who are all aligned. And you might say, well, it doesn't seem to be China had their hand in it, but not outwardly. They're working behind the scene and through back channels, passing weapons to Iran, who's passing it to Russia. But they may be all aligned, but God is greater. And I just want to share with you before I closed, amen, that I saw in a vision bombs dropping in New York. And people were fleeing New York, trying to get into New Jersey. And I was very perplexed by this because I just don't know how it could happen. But then I remember that the attack on Pearl Harbor happened. 9/11 did happen. So I want you to know that even though I'm not certain of when or how, I do know that there will be a breach in our national security that will make it possible. Saints of God, we are living in the last days. And I know a lot of people, you know, they get so tired of hearing, you know, the message, you know, of Jesus being soon to come. We're living in the last days, and a lot of people, you know, just kind of want to tune it out because, you know, they're just wanting to live their life. But I want you to know that if Jesus is not in your life, you really have no life. Because in the end, you will not inherit and you will not obtain eternal life. In conclusion, the safest place to be found in is Jesus. He is our ark. And while we await the impending judgment, let us abide in Him. If you are a sinner and have not repented, do it now before God shuts the door and it is said too late. It is best to be in right standings with God, because on judgment day, there will be nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. Hear ye the word of the Lord.